Hello and a very warm welcome to all of you today. My name's Faye Hollands from OutshineConsulting.com and it's my pleasure to be your host and coach for today's call, which is all about the juicy topic of how to get more done in less time. So first and foremost, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time and initiative to join today's call and listen to this teleseminar. I've been absolutely amazed over the last few days at the response to this call and the response it's had from all corners of the globe. So we've got a lot of people on the webcast, a lot of people calling in from absolutely all over the place. I'd like to say a very warm welcome and good morning, good afternoon and good evening, because we've got people from all over the place. And this is clearly a topic that's hit a nerve for many people that have been listening to my recent teleseminars and reading my emails. Now, for those of you that don't know me, I just want to tell you a little bit about my background so that you know who you're listening to tonight, and then we'll crack straight on into answering some of your very important questions. Okay, so if you haven't picked up on the accent yet, I'm from the UK, and I spent about 14 years in London working for big blue chip companies, mainly within financial services. Before, I had what I like to call a bit of a midlife crisis, but that was at 28. So in other words, I got sick of sweating blood and working incredibly long hours and decided that there really had to be a bit more to life. So I sold my house, did quite a lot of travelling, and then I settled down in Sydney about 5 years ago to make this fabulous city my new home, and that's where I'm talking to you from today. So since then, I've retrained and I now work as a professional coach running Outshine Consulting and now the successrules.com, which are coaching and teleseminar training businesses. And what I do is I focus on helping individuals and businesses to achieve success in the fastest, easiest and most economical way possible. And one of the topics that I find myself coaching on and talking about a lot is time management, because it can have such a huge impact on the results you experience in your personal and professional life. Now just think for a moment, how often have you found yourself saying, I don't have time to do that, or I'll just do that tomorrow, I'll have time then. And what that does is it delays or postpones the results you're looking to achieve, so your ability to manage your time effectively can have a huge impact on the personal and professional life you live. Now, unfortunately, your productivity and your ability to master your time won't just happen by accident, and I'm sure all of you know that, which is why you're investing your time on this call today or listening to the recording. So if you want to get more done in less time and increase your productivity, it's entirely up to you to make it happen. But what I'm going to do today is give you as many proven techniques and tips as I possibly can so that you have some clear action points to put in place straight after this call today. Okay, so just before we crack on and start answering your questions, I just want you to do two quick things for me. First of all, please make sure you've printed off the note sheet for this call. Now, I think there may have been a problem with the link on the last email that I sent today, so if you don't have it, you can quickly visit askfayhollands.com/askthanks.html. But don't go panicking to get to that website if you're not at a computer. Simply make sure that you've got some paper in front of you at the very least, just so that you have got pen and paper handy to make sure that you can take notes over the next 45 to 60 minutes. So point two is to make sure you've got a pen, because this is a content-rich teleseminar and I'm going to be throwing a lot of valuable information your way. This isn't a marketing promotional sale from my side. It's content rich. So make sure you've got a pen and paper so that you can start writing down and putting into practice the tips that I'm going to give you today. Okay, so without further delay, let's get onto your questions. And what I've done, because we've only got up to an hour today and I can't answer all of your questions in that time, I've picked the most common questions that seem to apply to the majority of listeners, so that everyone on today's call can get value from this teleseminar. So just because it isn't your question I'm answering, it's still really important to focus and avoid multitasking at all costs so that you can get the most out of the next hour. And the questions I'm going to cover, we've got six questions. And the first one is, my challenge is to do with prioritizing things. How many things seem important? The question is, my challenge is to do with prioritizing things. Often many things seem important to do and I end up not doing things in time. It sounds very obvious when I write it like this, but it's not so clear in the light of the big to-do list. I'm sure we can all relate to that. Question number two is, I'm an entrepreneur with several small businesses. each of which I'm the principal doer of everything. I know how that feels. How do I structure my day to not only tread water with my to-do list, but make forward progress? Question number three is, what is the best strategy to manage information overload? How can you organise adding bookmarks in your head when you come across useful information but don't want to be distracted? Number four, we're going to look at how can I organise email so I can find anything? Yep. Do you ever think to have email folders named the same as document folders? And does the categorisation need to be consistent? Fifth question is how to divide time between delegating work, completing work, and helping and keep learning to improve performance in the workplace. And the final question I'm going to answer if we have time is how do I stop meandering on the internet? I love this one. I start looking for a specific thing and then 2 hours later I'm still on the net browsing something totally different from what I set out to do. So those questions, whilst they may not be yours, encompass the majority of the lists and lists of questions that I got from you over the last couple of weeks. So thank you to everyone that submitted a question. If at the end of this teleseminar you don't think your question's been answered, you can email me and I would love to deal with that question with you offline. But hopefully those six questions are going to cover the key areas that people are experiencing challenges with at the moment.
Couple of weeks. So thank you to everyone that submitted a question.
I'm hoping that you can hear me okay because I'm getting really bad feedback and unfortunately can hear myself very well and delayed. So I'm going to push on through that. Okay, so question number one came from Jane. Jane, thank you very much. Jane's question is, my challenge is to do with prioritising things. Often many things seem important to do and I end up not doing things in time that had to be done. It sounds obvious when I write it like this, but it's not so clear in the light of a big to-do list. Okay, with prioritising, it's important to know what your key goals are in order to decide what to do next. So many people don't stop long enough to think about what needs to be done. They just jump straight in and do whatever grabs their attention next, or often whatever seems the easiest task to get on with. Now the problem with that approach is that what grabs your attention isn't always the most important task. It might simply be something that's urgent. So a key principle in time mastery is that important things are not always urgent and urgent things are not always important. I'll say that one more time and you might want to jot this down. So important things are not always urgent and urgent things are not always important. So first and foremost, learning to distinguish between the two is essential for effective time management. So the first step in order to prioritise effectively is to identify what tasks are actually urgent. Now the second crucial step is to take in order to prioritise effectively is to determine what your key goals are so that you can plan your day appropriately. And this is about identifying, as Tim Ferriss, also Tim Ferriss calls it, your mission critical tasks. And I know I've got clients listening on the line today and they're probably, you know, batting their eyelids that I'm ranting on about mission critical tasks again, but I can't emphasise enough how important this is. So for example, if you're responsible for generating revenue for your business and it's one of your key goals, then a mission critical task for you would relate to business development or marketing, for example. A mission-critical task wouldn't be filing your emails or ordering stationery because they don't help you achieve your key goal of generating revenue for your business. So your key result areas are those aspects of your job or performance that matter the most, and they're your bottom line. So they are why you're on the payroll or why you're running a business, the purpose of you being in that job. And most jobs can be broken down into around about 5 to 7 key result areas. So it's important for you to think about what your result areas or your mission critical tasks are. This will point to the most valuable use of your time rather than a task that doesn't contribute towards your goals. So once you've identified your mission critical tasks, these become a priority over everything else that you do and should be meticulously scheduled in your diary. Now planning is absolutely key in time management and these appointments in your diary should be given the same respect as a client meeting, for example. So your mission critical tasks contribute directly to the key goals of your role and should absolutely be given the same respect as you would an interview or a client meeting. So if you find yourself wondering what to do next, just ask yourself, if I could only do one more thing today, what would leave me feeling satisfied? And I'm going to get you to jot that question down. This really, really works for me. If you're ever feeling lost about what to do next because you've got so much to do and you may be overloaded or overwhelmed, ask yourself, if I could only do one more thing today, what would leave me feeling satisfied? Now, by continuously asking yourself that question, you can maximize the time that you have and accomplish more of what's important every day, because you'll be focusing on what's going to leave you satisfied and give you a sense of accomplishment. And generally, that won't be filing your emails or doing, you know, a more tedious or boring task that makes you feel busy but doesn't contribute towards your goals. Now, what I recommend is identifying two tasks a day that are mission critical. And the reason for this is it relates to the 80-20 rule, which is also known as the Pareto principle. And I'm sure many of you have heard about this before. But it's named after the Italian economist who, what he did is he applied mathematics to economics and determined that 80% of a nation's wealth is typically controlled by 20% of its population. Now, the 80-20 rule has proved, you know, valid across a number of different areas, including business and time management strategies. So that's why it's so important today. So to give you an idea of what it's talking about, 20% of meeting time is spent making about 80% of your decisions. 20% of staff initiate about 80% of the problems in a business. 20% of your advertising will contribute to 80% of the campaign results. And 20% of your activities account for 80% of your results. So 20% of your tasks account for 80% of the value in your to-do list. So as we've just identified, some tasks have a much greater return on your investment of time and energy than others. So in order for you to get more done in less time and prioritize effectively, it's really important to focus your time on these high payoff mission critical tasks. And that means that on a to-do list of 10 items, two items will be considerably more important than the other eight. And I wonder for everyone listening today and listening to the recording later on, how many points you all have on your to-do list at the moment? Because I know most of the clients that I coach, they're kind of looking at 18, 20 points as a minimum. So this is really time to start redefining your to-do list. And if you can discipline yourself to start your day with the most important item on your to-do list, you can be sure that you're going to accomplish vastly more than the average person. But it's not about writing every single thing down on your to-do list. It's about using the 80-20 principle and looking at the two key mission critical tasks that are going to help you move closer to your goals. So the tip here is to focus on the items that are going to account for the major share of your results and do them where possible. And these are often the items that you'll procrastinate over, are the most complicated on your to-do list, or the most time consuming, because it's much easier to find lots of other tasks to do instead of those. So in summary, in order to prioritize effectively, you need to know what your key goals are and identify the mission-critical tasks that contribute most to you achieving those goals. Then pick two of those tasks per day and schedule time in your diary to complete them, and ideally at the start of the day or when your energy levels are at their highest. So if you're a morning person, I'm very much a morning person. I start work generally about 6, 7 o'clock at the latest, and I do my best work up until lunchtime. So I always schedule my mission-critical tasks first thing in the morning. And I really struggle to do them later on in the afternoon. So think about when your energy levels are at their highest and schedule your mission-critical tasks to be done during those times. And remember here that effective time managers realize that they simply can't do everything. As much as we would all love to think we can, we simply can't do everything. So you have to be selective with your limited amount of time and consciously choose to spend it on what's most important to you and your goals. And whenever you start the task, you're automatically rejecting everything else you could be during that time. So it's really important that you're the one choosing the task rather than allowing circumstances or other people to choose that task for you. Okay, so on your notes page or a spare piece of paper you've got handy, just make sure you've jotted down that tip number one is really to identify the goals in your job and be very, very clear on what you're aiming for. Identify your mission-critical task. Then make sure you schedule time in your diary to do them and think about the 80-20 rule. What are the two most important tasks on your to-do list that you need to get done and that are going to leave you feeling the most satisfied at the end of the day. Okay, let me just grab a sip of water. Okay, so thank you very, very much for that question, Jane. Great question. I'm sure lots of us can relate to that. Now, my second question is from Michelle. Michelle says, I'm an entrepreneur with several small businesses, each of which I'm the principal doer of everything. And I know I've got lots of business owners on the line today, and I'm sure, Michelle, that you are not alone in the question that you've asked. So she says, how do I structure my day to not only tread water with my to-do list, but make forward progress? Really good question. And what I'm going to talk about here takes my first answer to another level. So first and foremost, for Michelle, you need to know what your key goals and mission critical tasks are and pay attention to those. So you go through question one. Now, what I want to add here to my last answer is that it's also important to start looking at how effective you are versus how efficient you're being. Okay, so I used to pride myself on being super, super efficient, but over time I've realized that it's not the greatest strength to have. The time management guru Peter Drucker, who wrote The Effective Executive, once said that effectiveness is the critical quality that distinguishes great achievers from everyone else. I'll say that again in case you want to jot this down, because it's something good to use to remind yourself every day of why effectiveness is important. Effectiveness is the critical quality that distinguishes great achievers from everyone else. And that's because what you do, or in other words, how effective you are, is infinitely more important than how you do it or how efficient you are. So efficiency is still important, but it's useless unless it's applied to the right things. So just to clarify, effectiveness is doing the things that get you closer to your goal, which is basically your mission critical task that we've just talked about. Whereas efficiency is performing a given task, whether it's important or not, in the most economical way possible. So it's great if you're being efficient and effective because you are efficiently working through the things that make you effective in your role. But if you are purely working on tasks where you're super efficient but they have no effectiveness and doesn't contribute to your mission critical tasks, then you're effectively wasting time. So checking your emails 30 times a day and developing an elaborate system of filing emails is very efficient, but it's not effective unless one of your key goals in your job is to file emails. Now, I don't know anyone whose key, role in their job is to file emails. So if you're finding yourself doing that, you're being very efficient, but you're not contributing to the goals that you set out to achieve in your job. So for you, Michelle, and for everyone else who wrote in with similar questions, where you're doing everything for each of your businesses, it's critical that you look at how effective you're being versus how efficient you are. So all too often when I see my clients' to-do lists, or we talk about the things they've got to do in that day, their to-do lists are peppered with time filler tasks that do nothing other than make them feel very, very busy and don't contribute to the goals that they're looking to achieve. So being efficient doesn't necessarily mean that you're being productive. Just because you're busy and getting things done doesn't mean you're actually accomplishing anything significantly. And ultimately, you can find yourself spending most of your day treading water and really wading through your to-do list, leaving no time to work on your business or develop your career or do some of those really important tasks that you want to accomplish. So think about how many times you've spent the day running around like a headless chicken, really, really busy, but you're left feeling unsatisfied at the end of the day. That I can definitely relate to that, and it happens all the time. It doesn't happen all the time to me now, but it used to, and I see it with my clients a lot. So what I challenge you to do today is to write two lists. And these are simple two lists, but they have so much power behind them once you recognize how you're spending your time. So the first list should show the tasks you're doing which are effective. And remember, those tasks are the things that get you closer to your goals, and they are your mission critical tasks. They're the purpose of you being in your job or running your business. And the second list is the things that you do that are efficient. So for me, for example, I know that the business development activities that I run and the marketing activities and the teleseminars I run and the articles I write are mission critical tasks. So the way I run my business and build my business, they're mission critical tasks. I also know that I can become very, very efficient at making my website look nice and changing the fonts and colours and sizes and adding pretty pictures. And that's where I'm, sorry, the last bit was me being effective. With my website, that's when I'm being efficient. When I add a new page and I add a new product, that's being effective because it's helping me contribute to my goals. But when I'm making fonts and pictures look pretty, that's when I'm being efficient. So the lovely Dr. Phil likes to say that you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So spend a few moments at the end of this teleseminar raising your own awareness about your current time management strategy so that you know what needs to change. And you're highly likely to find that you're spending critical time on tasks that are not effective and instead consuming your day with time fillers that you do ever so efficiently. So on your piece of paper or your notes page, for tip number two, this is identifying where you're effective and where you're efficient. Make sure you write down those two lists and keep them close to hand. It's very self-educating when you start realizing the things that you do that make you feel incredibly busy but actually don't contribute to your key goals. And when you start focusing that way, you will start getting much more done in less time. Okay, so on to question number three. And question number three comes from Motti. Thank you very much, Motti. His question is, what is the best strategy to manage information overload? How can you organise adding bookmarks in your head when you come across useful information but don't want to be distracted? I love the fact that you mentioned being distracted there because this is a key component. So a common time management mistake is to try and use your head or your memory to keep track of everything. And this very often leads to information overload and a general sense of overwhelm. And overwhelm is incredibly unproductive, so you want to avoid that at all costs. So the fact is that you can't rely on your memory alone to keep track of all the things you need to get done without getting overloaded. Now, every single day there are things that you need to remember and do, and they just happen consciously and subconsciously, and you just do them. But there's a whole load of other things that, you know, you can be worried about if you're thinking you need to remember them without writing them down. So this relates to both useful information you come across as well as day-to-day tasks and general information. So relying on your memory alone can cause anxiety. It will waste time trying, you know, whilst you're trying to remember what you need to remember. And it also causes distraction from what you're supposed to be fully concentrating on. I'm sure we've all had those moments where we've laid in bed, for example, and just thought about something you want to remember to do the next day. And it takes up brain capacity in thinking, I've got to remember it. It's much simpler to have a notebook by your bed and just jot it down, and then it frees up your mind. So the same works with your to-do list and when you're coming across useful information throughout the day. So put it simply, don't try and organise bookmarks in your head, Motti. Avoid that at all costs. The most effective strategy to use is to carry small notebook with you wherever you go and jot down the idea quickly so that you can capture your thoughts and focus back on the task at hand. That should be where you're focusing your time. So another really smart way to do this that I know a lot of people use is to use a digital recorder. And you can get digital recorders now that are like the size of a pen, so you don't have to be carrying around a big brick with you. And that way you can record your ideas and your references quickly and come back to them. Now what I recommend here though is that you don't buy a recorder that's got 2 or 3 hours on it, or even 60 minutes. Buy yourself one that gives you, for example, 15 to 30 minutes of recording time at the most. And what this does is incentivize you to listen to your ideas and to transcribe your ideas more regularly, making the task more chunk-like and manageable. Because you don't want to set yourself up for failure here if you're writing lots of notes or recording lots of ideas. You're going to want to go back to them at some point, so don't make the task a massive mission. It needs to be manageable. So tip number three is, it's very simple, but a lot of people forget to do it. It's to carry a notebook or to buy yourself a recorder, and don't try and remember everything. So have a notebook by your bed, have a notebook in your handbag or in your folder, and make sure that you can always just jot those ideas down quickly, because it stops you having constant partial attention, which I'll talk about later on, and distracting you from the things that you need to be doing. Remember, when you're working on a mission critical task, That's contributing directly to your key goals. And the last thing you want to be doing is focusing on how are you going to remember this important information that you've just found or this interesting article. That's tip number three. Question number four came from Bob. Thank you very much, Bob. And Bob said, how can I organize emails so I can find everything? Do you ever think to have email folder names the same as document folders so the categorization would be consistent? I haven't done that yet, but I like the idea. Great question, Bob. And the reason I've picked your question to cover today is not because of the end goal you're looking for, but the implication in your question. Because what I'm wondering as I read that question is how many emails you're holding on to or you're filing, and more importantly, for what purpose that serves. And I think this probably relates to a lot of people on the call. So I had a lot of emails and comments about emails. And email is, it has been called the devil. It's an extremely, excellent way of communicating when it's used well, but it can also lead to lack of productivity, overwhelm, and a lot of other side effects. So for what purpose is filing those emails serving you? In my time as a trainer and coach, not to mention years of corporate life, I've come across a lot of people who use their inbox as a database or an archive. And I'll mention my dear friend Ronnie here. I used to work with Ronnie a while back, and she absolutely used her email inbox as an archive. And she joked about it. It was her database. She had 2,500 emails in there as a minimum at any time. And she used it to sort and to find information. But that's not what email is designed to achieve. So you've got to think about how you're using your inbox. And if it's a database or an archive, it's not the most effective sort of use of your time. So keeping just about every email that comes in just in case you might need it again, or in fear that one day someone might ask you something and you won't have that email as a backup, is not a good strategy to keep using moving forward. And that fear and that hoarding can lead to an overwhelming number of emails to deal with. And practically, a full-time job filing emails and trying to make your inbox as efficient as possible. So I want you to, first of all, be brutally honest with yourself and ask yourself why you're keeping each email that you're considering filing. Is it out of fear, or are you genuinely going to use that email again? And it's important to be extremely honest. Now, experts estimate that between 60 and 80% of items that people file, and this is both paper filing and email, they never look at again. Never look at again. So learning what to save and what to delete and what to throw away is the first step to creating a filing system. And I don't know if any of you are like me, but a while back I had a technical challenge and managed to delete my entire inbox and all my folders, which at the time I thought was a complete disaster. But it ended up being quite an interesting experiment because it didn't have any ramifications on my business at all. And all I was doing was sitting there at an inbox every day that was acting like a database or an archive that I never referred back to. And in losing that, it didn't impact my business and it didn't impact me. So think about why you're using it. Now, Bob, if you genuinely think you're going to need to use that email again in the future, then absolutely go ahead and file it. But one point I want you to pay particular attention to is that to aid efficiency and effectiveness, you need to treat that email like a piece of paper and only handle it once. So read it, reply to it, and then file it all in one swipe. I see all too often people reading an email, then they shut it down, they go and do something else, and then they come back to it and they might read it again. And they actually might read it again and again and again because they keep being distracted and going and doing something else. And then they action the email. And then later on, and that could be days or months later on they file it. And it's a very unproductive use of your time. Now, in terms of filing, I like your idea of having folders the same as your document folders because I'm going to assume for the point of this call that that's a system that's working for you. So that's a great idea. Remember, filing emails, unless you have to revert back to them multiple times a day, isn't a mission-critical task that's going to contribute directly to your key business goals. So putting together a really elaborate, detailed filing system will just end up being a time filler rather than an effective task. So keep the system simple with key headings And avoid keeping every email you get just because you've got a good filing system to store them in, because every second that you use to file those emails adds up. And over a year, you will have probably wasted a lot of time filing 60 to 80% of files that you will never use again. So I challenge you to keep track of how many emails you actually revert back to. I've had some of my clients do this previously where email has been a big challenge for them. And it's such an education to notice that even though you have all these hundreds or thousands of emails in your inbox, you actually perhaps over a month only reverted back to one of them during that time. So if that is a challenge for you, just spend a couple of weeks, if not over a month, looking and tracking how many times you revert back to saved emails. And, you know, again, be brutally honest with yourself and make sure that you really do need to save them. So tip number four is to question, simply to question yourself, do you really need to file it? Okay. Question number five is from Hemant. Thank you, Hemant. He says, how do I divide my time between delegating work, completing work on my plate, and keeping learning to improve performance in the workplace? So I'll just say that again. How to divide time between delegating work, completing work on my plate, and keep learning to improve performance in the workplace. Well, planning is absolutely critical here. So you need to know exactly what needs to be done day to day and how long each of those duties would take. And I'd highly recommend to everyone every day to plan your time the night before. What that does is it allows your subconscious mind to deal with any challenges or issues you're experiencing overnight. And it also allows you to start your day in the most productive way, instead of wasting time thinking about what you need to do. You know, how many times have you noticed someone in your office, for example, you know, they come in and they grab their breakfast and they sip on their coffee and they trawl through a few emails and, you know, they have a bit of a chat, and then maybe about an hour and a half later or mid-morning, that's when they say, right, what do I need to do today? And that's when they start to write their to-do list. And before you know it, lunchtime's upon you. So by planning your day the night before, even though I'm sure all of you have been told this a million times, I can't begin to express how important it is. And if you are focusing on mission-critical tasks, I would recommend having a separate notebook and just having those two tasks written down. You'll literally spend a couple of minutes the night before thinking about what those tasks should be. Then when you come into work the next day or you sit down at your desk in your business, you know exactly what you're focusing on. And you become productive from the moment you sit down at your desk instead of around about mid-morning. So if you've got lots of tasks to divide your time between, you need to plan and get organized in order to master your productivity. So in getting organized, I want to talk about a concept called batching today as a way of dealing with multiple responsibilities, which we all have. So current research into worker habits and distractions shows that workers typically change tasks every 3 minutes, which is staggering, changing tasks every 3 minutes, and you take about 25 minutes to return to an uninterrupted task, usually plugging into two other work-related tasks in the interim. Okay, so I'll just say that again, because these are quite staggering stats. You typically change tasks every 3 minutes. You take about 25 minutes to return to that task, and during those 25 minutes, you'll plug into two other tasks in your job. Now, on top of that, more than a quarter, it's actually 28% of each 9-to-5 period is consumed by interruptions. And by one estimate, interruptions can take up to 2.1 hours of an average worker's day. Now, they estimate that's costing the U.S. economy alone $588 billion a year. $588 billion a year. Now, if you're running your own business and you think about what 2.1 hours a day costs you, that is really going to add up over a year. I used to work for a professional services firm where we build our time in 15-minute slots. And that's a real education when you realize what your 15 minutes is worth. Now, if you're running a business, every one of those 15-minute slots is costing you money. So if 2.1 hours is filled with distractions, that's 2.1 hours you've just lost and it's cost you versus your productivity and your bottom line. So those are numbers worth jotting down and paying attention to. So for Hemant, planning your day and identifying your mission-critical tasks is really crucial. And the next step for everyone to apply is batching or lumping. Both are lovely words, batching or lumping. Your responsibility is together to create optimal efficiency. Now, the reason it's important to do this is because switching between tasks, switching between delegating work, plowing through your own to-do list, it wastes time and causes that distraction. So by batching your routine tasks together and doing them in lumps will help you remain as focused as possible. And what that does in turn is saves you from losing precious time switching from one task to another, which will help you find more time to invest in improving performance in the workplace or, for example, in your own personal development. It depends what you want to achieve. So one thing to really recognise is that many distractions are actually self-initiated. So it doesn't matter whether it's delegating work or reading an email. You know, by limiting the number of distractions you have and by batching your work, you'll increase your productivity and so that you don't find yourself wasting time on refocusing. So in terms of batching, have a look at the things that you need to do each day and think about how you can batch or lump them together. So, for example, it's very unproductive to check your emails 30 or 40 times a day. Or the, one of the worst-case scenarios with regards to email is to have the email alert button on. And every time an email comes in, you jump and you look. And even if you don't open your email, you're distracted by that noise. So one thing I would love everybody listening to this call today to do is to turn the alert on their email off, because that distracts your mind immediately, even if you don't actually open the email or open your email application. So one of the things you could batch is email. Now, when we talked about mission critical tasks and efficiency and effectiveness, where you're being super efficient, try and batch those tasks. So it might be that you're filing. It might be that you're returning voicemails. Now, unless those are mission critical calls or client-related calls that have urgency assigned to them, it's a really good practice to batch all of your calls together. So maybe you have half an hour or an hour of returning calls, and otherwise your phone switched to voicemail for an hour so that you can focus on a particular project or task. And we've talked about planning and putting time in your diary and scheduling your mission critical tasks. Batching, the same process should be applied to batching. So you may decide that you're going to check your emails at 9, 12, and 4 p.m. every day. So put a half an hour slot in your diary and treat that time as if it was an important client meeting or picking your kids up from school or going to the gym or something that's really important to you, and give it that time and focus. Okay, so I think I've harped on enough about batching, but it's really important. So tip number 5 is to make sure that you plan your day and you batch the tasks that you need to do, so that you can do them as efficiently and effectively as possible. And we're on to, I've steamrolled through this, we're on to question number 6, which is the final question we're going to cover today. And question number 6 is from Paul. And Paul says, how do I stop meandering on the internet? I start looking for a specific thing and then 2 hours later, I'm still on the internet browsing something totally different from what I set out to do. I love this one. It makes me laugh. I think we are all guilty of this at some point or another. So thanks for your honesty, Paul, and thanks for a great question. And the problem is that, you know, the internet provides so many distractions. So firstly, it's really important to recognize if you have a tendency to use the internet as a time filler. So time fillers are things that you can do ever so efficiently, and you find yourself doing probably when you're trying to procrastinate. So again, going back to me, I know that I'll flap around with my website and make it look pretty when I'm trying to fill time or I'm procrastinating over something that I find more challenging or that's going to, you know, be a difficult task. So think about whether you have a tendency to start surfing the internet when you are trying to fill time or procrastinate. And what you might do is, rather than looking at the TV Guide or sports or, you know, women's gossip magazine, you might con yourself into looking at entrepreneur.com or the Australian Financial Review or a business-related website. But unless you are specifically looking something that's directly related to your mission-critical tasks, you are still filling your time by doing that. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you're sitting at your desk having lunch and you're looking at the internet and you're educating yourself while you're doing that, then go for your life. But there's a massive distinction between that and using the internet as a time filler. So in other words, you know, if it doesn't generally contribute to your key goals or mission critical tasks, it's going to be something that absorbs a lot of your time and it makes you feel busy and productive, but it doesn't help you reach your end goal. So Peter Drucker calls this drifting into trivia. Jot that down, it's drifting into trivia. And if you find yourself routinely working on unimportant things, then you might well be drifting into trivia more often than you think. So it's a way of escaping doing an important or unpleasant task. Prioritization and planning are really key because they force you to focus on the important and mission-critical tasks that you need to get done. And that only allows yourself time to get those tasks done and focus on drifting into trivia once those key points are done. So, sorry, just to recap there. So prioritization and planning are key because they focus you to, they make you focus on what's really important. It's okay to drift into trivia if you've done everything you need to do and you're just killing time, but I don't think many of us, and certainly not the people on this call today, often find ourselves in that situation. Now, if you're researching on the internet is part of your job or a project that you're working on, and it is a mission-critical task, because certainly many of us, I'm sure, have to look on the internet, and it's a great source of information, then the first thing I want you to be aware of is Parkinson's Law. Now, Parkinson's Law dictates that a task will swell in perceived importance and complexity in relation to the time allotted for its completion. I'll say that again for anyone who wants to jot this down because this is really important. Parkinson's Law dictates that the task you're doing will swell in perceived importance and complexity in relation to the time allotted for its completion. So, for example, if you've got 2 hours to complete some research, the time pressure you allot yourself will force you to focus on the execution of that task, and you have no choice but to do the bare essentials in those two hours and ultimately get the task done. But if you give yourself a week to do the same task, you'll pretty much use a week. And if I give you 2 months to do it, you'll take 2 months to do it. So by applying Parkinson's Law, I want you to think about how much time you need to research on the internet to get the job done. And then what I'd recommend is knocking perhaps a third of that time off your deadline, so that you are stretched and challenged to reach your goal. So if you think you need an hour to research a particular piece of information, you give yourself about 45 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that, so that you feel stretched and you can purely only focus on what you need to do. The reason for this is it increases the pressure and forces you to focus, and it takes away the temptation to surf the net for other things. The theory here applies to anything you're trying to get done, not just researching on the internet. So if you have got a project or, let's say, a presentation to prepare for, if you know that it's in 2 weeks' time and you start working on it now, it will take you 2 weeks' time. But if you give yourself, let's say, 5 hours or a day and focus your energies purely in that time, and you will become much more productive because I guarantee you, you'll get that task done in pretty much the time you've allotted. It's a little bit like saying, you know, you can have 2 weeks to do a presentation or 2 hours. I'll give you $1 million if you get it done in 2 hours. Now, the incentive's there, and you get the bare essentials done in that time in most cases. Okay, so what I'd also recommend is getting yourself a kitchen timer or using the stopwatch on your mobile and setting an alarm to go off when your allotted time is up. And all of this is about getting your conscious and your subconscious mind to focus on only what you're doing now and avoid those distractions that we deal with every single day. So constant partial attention is, it's a huge problem in terms of productivity and time mastery. It's really important to do all of the tasks that you need to do wherever possible, purely focus on that task in that moment. And, I used to really pride myself on being able to multitask. And we used to joke, you know, men can't multitask, it's only women that can do that. But actually you guys are onto a good point, because multitasking, it causes constant partial attention because you're trying to focus on more than one thing at one time. And it means that you're not as productive in any of those things that you're doing. So do set yourself an alarm clock, stopwatch, kitchen timer, put yourself under pressure by giving yourself a deadline that's slightly shorter than you would comfortably like, And all of that will aid you to focus purely on the task at hand. Okay, so point number six is to apply Parkinson's law and to use a timer where possible. Okay, we're coming up to a quarter to the hour, so we're very close to finishing. So just as a bit of a recap, you know, if you're serious about getting more done in less time and improving your time management and productivity skills, it takes commitment. But the good news is that anyone can do it over time. However, you have to start by making a conscious decision to learn and improve your current skills. So, you know, I do want to thank you all for being on this call because you've absolutely shown your dedication to doing that first and foremost. So learning to manage your time is definitely an art, and it's one, you know, what I would recommend is to make one small change at a time and master that change so that it becomes a long-lasting habit. It can take 21 days to form a new habit. So from the things that we've covered today, pick one task that you think really holds value for you and rings true to you, and do that task consistently over the next 3 weeks. So let's say, for example, you might decide that at the moment you're not planning your day the night before. So the one thing you're going to focus on over the next 21 days is to plan your day the night before. It's very simple, but it's a small step done regularly that are going to help you achieve the results that you're looking for. So be accountable for your own results and do the task with conviction to form a new and empowering habit. So make it simple for yourself, pick one thing that really resonates, and then do it with absolute conviction because you want to make it into a new habit. You have good habits and bad habits, and the tips that I've given you today can all be turned into good habits that you subconsciously just do every day. You don't even have to consciously think about doing them. So I trust you've got value from this teleseminar. I want to thank you all for joining me today. I would really appreciate your feedback and candid comments. So I invite you to email me, please, and let me know your thoughts. And I also welcome any additional questions. I'd love to help you if I can. So my email address is Faye Hollands, that's FayeHollands at outshineconsulting.com. That's Faye Hollands at outshineconsulting.com. And finally, I just want to remind those of you who may have heard about the Success Rules to please register for the Success Rules preview teleseminar next week. It's another free teleseminar, and it's where I'm going to be discussing how to accelerate your personal and professional success in the easiest, fastest, and most economical way possible. So to register for that, simply go to thesuccessrules.com/previewcall.html. And I'm just going to very quickly run you through the things that I'm going to be covering. So this is specifically for entrepreneurs, business owners, and ambitious professionals. And in that hour of teleseminar, I'm going to be covering how to avoid the 5 biggest mistakes that people make trying to achieve success, how to get results in the most efficient and effective way possible instead of falling into time-wasting traps, the easiest way to create massive results this year so that you can get what you want faster and easier than ever before, and finally, how to apply 3 time-tested techniques to develop a success mindset and rapidly enhance your ability to be personally and professionally successful. So if you're ready to accelerate your personal and professional success, please log on to thesuccessrules.com/previewcall.html and register for your free place today. The call is taking place next Wednesday at 12 o'clock Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, so the same time as this call, and it would be my pleasure to have you on the call. So until then, thank you very much again for joining me today. I wish you the very best, and thank you for taking the time and investing in your own personal development. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.